Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Just James, the director of EasyCrete. Very easy.
Yeah, and then...
The best looking concreter in Melbourne.
You're not in Melbourne.
Where am I?
You're in drilling.
I'm in drilling. That's why I'm the best looking concreter in Melbourne. It's a loophole.
Technicality. Oh, that's not what it is.
Yeah.
All right, we're here for another chat with James, the director of EasyCrete Concrete.
It is, yeah.
And concrete. Detail Excavation, I can read on the top.
Yes. Yep.
All right, go on. Tell us something about yourself.
My name's James.
Got that one already. We ticked that one off.
We crossed that.
Yeah.
That's okay. Me in a nutshell.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. That's literally it. We can wrap it up, boys. Nah, yeah, we are a small family-owned company based out of Druin in Victoria. We specialise in exposed aggregate and we like to just mainly focus on pool surrounds, but we do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're aiming to, you know, aiming for the stars and every opportunity that I see for our company to expand, I'll take. And
is that why you're here or is that one of them? Or
I'm here because I live under the premise that if I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. So I like to surround myself with people that are better.
I don't know why you came to this room.
No, it was for Louis. The office. Yeah, Louis, yeah.
all my office. I've got a smart office.
The office seemed smart. I walked in here and, yeah, they all knew what they were doing.
Yeah, at least they were walking around pretending to know what they were doing.
My office is empty.
Oh, good. Yeah. My office is full.
Full.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. All right. Take it away. How long you been in concreting? What do you do? And what's the first thing that you want to speak about? Like a... We'll make it a big lesson learned or the biggest fuck-up that you've had. Either Ooh. Or.
Biggest fuck-up?
Yeah, because lessons are best learned when the toast is burnt.
That's true, mate. Yep. Knock on wood, yep.
Yeah, that's it.
I suppose the biggest fuck-up. There's so many. Like,
there's that many.
There's just...
But always the product ended out really well for every single one of your customers.
Customers...
Very happy.
Very happy.
Yeah.
All the time. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people need to know. We often get a lot of emails or messages on our social media just from young guys picking our brains about how we finish our concrete or even just how we start companies. And I just think what you're doing is great because in our industry there's not really a platform for accountability and –
I don't think that there's really a platform about anything.
Anything.
Yeah, I think the closest thing that the platforms get is like guys saying, oh, you know, would like to thank my team who came together under tough conditions.
Who literally
and installed 600 metres of pipe.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you.
And then someone over here is going, but the pipe's upside down. You're like, doesn't matter. Like,
and it's flowing the wrong way.
I'm the platform. Yeah. Relax.
And that's all it is. That is it.
And I think coming into small business, for me as a director, I find it difficult to find people to actually talk to and relate in the industry that have an idea what I'm talking about. And sometimes there's questions that I'm asking that I don't even really know like the question.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know the question, let alone what to do with the answer.
Correct.
And I have a really big thing about, you know, schools and stuff. Like, I've spoken about it a little bit here about, you know, what schools teach you and, you know, how useless Romeo and Juliet is and, you know, the fact that we sat down for a term and smashed out Shakespeare, but you don't teach me about superannuation, or you don't teach me how to do my tax.
Or how to buy a house.
Or buy a house. Or what buying a house even looks like. You know, what the costs are associated. A lot of us
accidentally bought our first houses.
I was
already into buying a house when I realised I was into buying a house. Mm. For 10 years I was wondering how I could buy a house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so you I put posts on LinkedIn, I put posts on Instagram. Finance. Finance for machines and finance for this.
Equipment
what
finance.
What the fuck is it? How do you get it? Who do you get it from? Do you get a balloon? Like I had no balloons ever. Then I met a guy and he goes, you know what?
Balloons are the best.
He's
a clown. He's get walking around with balloons, yeah.
You know, get balloons. And so I went out and got balloons and then the balloons start coming in and you
floating
got
away.
And
you're like, oh, shit.
What the fuck? I've been paying interest on the amount of the residual. We'll use some big words here. I've been paying interest on the residual for 5 years.
Yeah.
And now I've got to come up with 100 grand or 50 grand for the machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I've been paying off and the repayment. Like, balloons are shit.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Balloons are the shittest.
That's just like having a massive deposit. People see balloons as like a favour.
Yeah, nah.
Imagine going in to buy something and then let's say it's a $100,000 asset. How horrible is that $100,000 asset when every time you want to buy one, you have to pay $40,000?
Yeah.
That's gonna slow people down, isn't it?
But more so than that, since when did they ever tell you, like, or how was the world gone about that the $100,000 asset only cost you 40?
Yeah.
Why doesn't it cost you 100?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't come up with the 100, should you really be buying it?
Shouldn't be gambling. Yeah, you should not be gambling.
You shouldn't be gambling. But then also at the same time, I know for myself, I've gambled. But what's a calculated risk? What's just a risk? What should you be buying? Is it chattel mortgage best, lease best?
That's a good question.
Know, yeah. Is rent to buy best? Rent to buy didn't exist when I started.
Or are brokers best? Or are you best to walk into a dealership, a bank, loan shark?
Yeah. You know? Well, loan shark's probably not at the top of the list. However,
if you want to find that out the hard way, let us know how it goes.
Go for broke. But that's where it gets really difficult and where the education around it, and probably what you're talking about on the podcast and what you're talking about being here about, you know, a bit of an educational sort of thing where there's a couple of guys chatting shit about what they've learned over the time.
100%.
What I've learned is get someone who's smart that you trust in finance to look after you. I've got a shout out to my finance broker. His name is Chris. He kills it. He looks after me all the time.
Yep.
He is genuinely interested in me making money.
Yeah, yeah, and 100%.
And that's what it comes down to.
Trusting people, finding those people.
Yeah.
And that's what running a business is, isn't it?
And if you find the right person to help, well, it doesn't matter if it's in finance or even, you know, a mechanic. Yeah. We were talking about a mechanic before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you find a mechanic that looks after you and helps.
Hold on to them.
And you got to hold on to them and then you build your business with them.
That's
and
right.
You hope that they
and scale it.
And you hope that they scale it with you.
Correct. Correct.
So,
that's so true.
I've found over my time, no balloons, a shorter term, you know.
Higher payments, work harder, pay more.
Pay more. You've got some residual value building quickly in the machine so that, you know, some equity, some 100. Good words here, equity building up so that if you do need to sell it or if you do need to trade it out, you know, you're not just jumping out of one amount of debt into another amount of debt.
Yeah.
You're getting something back or you're increasing your deposit and you're able to, oh, look at you fucking
business,
getting
business.
Business.
I've got the phone on silent but the watch is ringing.
Shit.
I don't even know how to turn a watch on silent.
Can you turn a watch on silent?
I don't know.
I leave my phone in the other room because I'm big podcast dude.
You are podcast dude, yeah.
Yeah. That number 5, I think this one is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm counting each one as they go.
That's so good. You'll be at 2,000 in no time.
No. I want to get to about 50, I reckon. I reckon at about 50 we'll know if it's working
or if it's definitely working.
Well, it has to be working. Well, you're here.
I'm here and I'm from Druin.
Well, it's really funny because out of the 5, I've had you from 2 hours away from Melbourne. I've had 2 people from Brisbane.
That's further than Druin. That is further than Druin.
They were both from Brisbane, weren't they? It was in Queensland somewhere, you know, and then the rest are just natives.
Natives.
But
yeah. locals.
They like to come in.
It's a good thing. It's a great thing. Really, as I said, like we get so many inquiries and just young guys hitting me up. Not even just on socials, even in person, we have them come in and work, and they like the way we operate and they like the way that we do things. And they see, I think, firsthand, they get to see our engagement with the customer and our engagement with not just the customer, about money and contracts and what about the project. And they see what we do, and they really like to pick into that, and they think that that's the, you know, that's the be all and end all of running a business. And I was touching on that earlier with you. They come in. They see what we do for a week, and then they go out and they start their own show, and they're now competing. You know, that's how they see it. They're competing. But they don't realise that for us, it's not competing. We don't have competitors. It's just everyone's out giving it a crack.
Interesting way to put it, yeah.
And that's what I liked about this whole concept of you doing a podcast, because it gives people like myself the opportunity to discuss these sorts of things with someone on a professional platform, opposed to just shooting shit at the pub with people that don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Oh, well, I have an actual perfect example.
Yep.
I had someone giving me shit about this podcast, absolutely blazing me. Know them quite well. In fact, I'd call them a friend. Sitting down, let's say, at a pub shooting shit and ribbing me. And we go all the way around to it, and I said, I've got to ask you, because they were talking about how I get ready, the delivery, you know, how prepared I am.
That's their insecurities. Blah, blah, blah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm defending it and, you know, going around but listening to them, because I do like to listen to people so that I can try and learn something. And then at the end of it I said, no, I think you're wrong. I've got to ask you though, have you watched one? And if you have, which one?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, no, I haven't watched any. And I said, well, you've been sitting here 20 minutes saying, you know,
I think you need to be
more prepared. I think, you know, the fact that you don't know the sit down, you know, with a questionnaire for everyone who comes on your podcast is stupid. And I said, I don't really want a questionnaire, because then I'm leading them down what I want to talk about.
Correct.
And if we talk about what I want to talk about, we're going to get to somewhere around about, I reckon, episode 5.
And we're going
to
talk about dirt.
Yeah, and then we're talking just about dirt,
yeah,
digging holes, and that's it. So then I want to talk about concrete. I want to talk about James. I want to talk about, you know, 100%. Where life in drilling or whatever the hell you want to talk about.
Podcast.
Shit.
Not just industry-relatable stuff, podcast-relatable stuff.
And then
people want to hear different stuff.
I suppose that's what you're saying. How do you sit down at a pub, have a yak to someone, and let's say this example's a podcast, they start giving you all sorts of advice and you realise they've never even fucking listened to it.
Oh,
or they've never ran a business, or they don't know what they're talking about. They've never, you know, had employees quit. They've never had to go through shit with an employee.
Fire an employee for not being good enough. It's like, that's like the hardest thing to do, to bring someone and be like, look, you're trying, but you're not great.
I've got one harder.
Tell me.
I've got one harder. I used to think that sacking someone who was trying their hardest was... but not performing was like the pinnacle, the real
painful,
difficult part.
Yeah.
The actual hardest is sacking someone who's doing their hardest and doing great but don't fit.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Because you're always the sinker of the ship.
Yeah.
Because you start moulding your company around them instead of them moulding themselves.
Well, a company runs into a lot of problems with the behaviour it's willing to accept.
Yes.
And so if you have a concreter who's a killer, he can screed as much as you want, he can finish, he dead level.
Wash tools.
And he washes tools, yeah. But he's a pig to work with.
Bad breath.
Yeah, bad breath, but yells at the younger guys. You know, doesn't teach them, fucking dresses them down, makes them feel like shit. Rocks up late, leaves early, but his work's always done.
And it's the best.
Eventually you got to sack him. What ends up happening is he can produce a big amount of squares. He can produce a good outcome at the end of the day. But what he's actually producing is bad behaviour in your entire company.
Toxic.
And bad culture.
Yeah.
But it doesn't toxic's taken on this word, yeah? Like, it's taken on this thing. Doesn't have to – you can just be a bad – you know, a square peg in a round hole. It's like, smelly. It just don't work. It's smelly. It's bad smelly. Breath.
Bad breath. Yeah? That's what I call it.
And that one's real hard.
It is hard.
One's real hard because you spend especially – and I'm not going to tell you, like, how to suck eggs, or I'm not going to tell you about your work, but I know in mine, those are the people that I relied on. They were the ones that went to the moon for me, you know, that would work the hardest, that you know, and when it was just me and them or, you know, a few others and we could soften off their round edges and everyone was working hard, they're the killers. They're the A-team members. But then as you get bigger.
You have – when it's you're relying on one person to do five people's work, they're important. Best. But when you've got five people that can do his job – he's no longer required.
But then...
Behaviour becomes an issue.
The behaviour becomes... And, 100%. Man, let me tell you, I've had some really hard times. I had a truck driver who was with me more than 10 or 11 years he was.
Yeah.
Right from we're talking first big digger stages, you know, first jobs that I were doing that, you know, were 100 truckloads. He was one of the trucks.
Mm.
And... I had to let him go a few years ago because his behaviour. So we'd bring a new truck driver in.
Yeah.
And then he would sit down. And
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen to this. He'd sit down, and when we sent the truck driver, we'd be like, go see this bloke. He'll run you through everything, you know, the codes on the gate and how to fuel your truck because we have PIN codes for this and, you got to fill out this book, how to wipe your ass and fucking take off your shoes because that's what you have to teach some things to bring them in.
You have to literally take them to the water, put the cup in their mouth. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. He'd explain how to get more hours. Out of us. So that you could charge more overtime. So every truck driver that we're bringing in, the first day they're like, here's your T-shirt, here's your book, here's your, I don't know, your app on your phone to do your shit.
Yeah.
Go and see him and he'll run you through everything else. And the first thing you do is sit down and go, right, I get 50 hours a week here. Sometimes we only work 42. So, right, this is what we have to do. You're allowed to wash your truck a few times. You're allowed to do this. We can clean up. Get here early. They'll pay you for this. They'll pay you for that. If you're here 5 minutes early, they do it in 15-minute blocks. They'll accept writing down 5:45 if you're here at 5 to 6. And we would because I'm not the sort of guy who's looking to crunch over 10 minutes, but I don't want the sort of employee who's doing that on purpose.
And teaching people to do it.
Uh-huh. So then you have to let him go. Now, in that specific scenario, he is he's not right. But I tell you what, there was times with that if I said to him, I need you to go to the moon, he would have gone, hang on, do they sell rockets at Bunnings? Because I'll go down and buy one to put it on my back.
It's painful, isn't it?
And that is the worst. And how do you tell your mates? You go, oh, you know, had to sack ABC today. And they go, oh, yeah. I had a pretty shit day, you know. I rocked up in my lunch. And you go, no, hang on. This is weighing heavy on me, boys.
This is bad. Like, it's like me telling one of you to go home from the pub because I don't like you today.
Yeah. It's really shit. And what are we doing?
That's what I hate the most, man. There's no – and that's the thing. I find the conversations that I have on a day-to-day basis are either builders, mm-hmm. customers, builders that are just some of these people are just so painful to deal with. You know, you you're talking about guys that are trying to, you know that they're trying to get a premium product out of you. You know that they're ringing you because you do the best work. You know that they're, you know why they're calling you, but they still act like they don't want to be known, that they don't want that to be known. They act like, you know, oh, will you need us to show you the heights? Will you need us, you know, and then.
Come on, you are a concrete, but of course you need the heights. Need them to street.
We need a job done before we get there.
Yeah.
But the conversations that we have, it's either with people like that where they don't, you're not having a, you know, the conversation, it's like it doesn't even count as conversation for you. It's just talking and selling business.
Yeah, but it's the same shit again and again.
Yeah, every day. And it's like, yes, we know why you're ringing. Yes, this, yes, that, yes, no. Like, but then you've got guys at the pub where you're trying to say, you know, and like, oh, how was your day? Exactly the same thing. It's like, you know, I had a pretty, you know, I'm not going to go to the pub and say I had a pretty shit day today, boys. They go, why? Oh, guy said he'd pay me this morning. Want to buy a new truck. Hasn't paid. Have to wait till tomorrow. That's what it would sound like. But in actual fact, it's like I've been hounding this guy for months about his invoice.
Yeah.
I'm having to yell at him. I'm having to, like, break character. I'm having to step away from the professional director.
But not only that, I don't want to.
And it consumes you. I have to pretend to be nice to you for so long, and then it's like when I snap it, it's like, pay your bill.
I used to run into the problem, and I don't run into it as much now because, I was lucky enough to be able to grow to the size we have accounts. So accounts are just ringing out and saying, listen, we've got a process. Process says if you don't pay by the 7th of the month, we're going to send you a letter. We're just going to write it down. And they go, why are you sending me a letter, Jimmy? And I go, I don't know. I'll put it inside a process. It says 7 days. Why aren't you paying on the 37th day from 30 days after I did the job, boys? Like, come on.
Why hasn't that been done?
Like, you know, and why are you getting upset at the girls who are doing their job and doing a great job at it?
You know?
But back in the day, I used to get so twisted and so upset about some bloke, $2,000 or $5,000. And these guys used to, you know, I could be owed 20 from one guy and that would be okay, but I could be owed 2 from one and that guy, like.
That's the one I'm not letting go.
Yeah, I'm twisted.
Yeah.
And I get so upset about it, but because what ends up happening is you put a lot of yourself into it.
You do.
And then when you feel
it's not about the not about the money anymore.
But at some point it is.
It is and it isn't at the same time.
But this is where you need to carve it up and maybe why this podcast is useful, because boys, if you're going for the money, go for the money. Don't worry about the dude taking your piss out of you. Don't worry about him lying. Don't worry about this or that. Get your money.
Get your money. Because, if you're focusing on zero, you know, 0% time lost.
Yeah. You're never going to get there. But if you're also focusing on the fact that he treated you like a dill and now you don't like him, you're never going to be happy either.
It's a hard one, man, and it is. I think that's what's great. I think that the podcast – area has got a lot of
the get the money, and then I had a little like tickle burp in my throat. It would have been sick for a little clip right there, like get the money, bam. But instead, I went get the money like this. So
I got it though. I felt it.
Well, I don't know if anyone else will. You were in the room.
Can edit something in.
He does do fairly well with editing.
Fantastic.
You know, a little silent bloke in the corner that stands there all the time.
And that's so weird.
It's a little bit weird, but that's okay. We like him. But yeah, that part there, I learned it a long time ago. I can remember back in the day, I used to tell people that I didn't want to tell people I was broke and needed money. You know, I might have bills that are due. You know, I can remember and having to pay $5,000 or $10,000 on a Wednesday. I'm owed $50,000.
I feel you.
And you got $5,000 on a Wednesday that you got to pay, and you got $2,000 in the bank account, and you owed $50,000 from a bloke who said he'd pay 2 weeks ago.
And then it's not there. And how quickly that just goes up. How big those figures are just massive, like what you owe, what you're getting paid, the time that they're paying. You know, you've got guys, and you'd get it, you've got guys that will happily have $100,000 invoices to you. And never ring you, never send you an email, rah, rah.
Add another zero.
Yeah.
I have guys who will have $1 million invoices and they will call and be like, how's it going? What's happening? You know, hourly checkups on the job sometimes.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to payment, crickets. Hang on, you said it this morning when we were having a chat. You text me every time straight back, and now I just get dots. I get those dots.
You don't even press the fucking. Just send it. What are you thinking about? You know, it's like top, 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 delete, 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 top, top, top. It's like, mate, your words are so clear when you're getting something that you want.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying, hey, mate, you've received your invoice, job's complete, everything's good. And you know, also like we're going to be back Wednesday for a quick site clean. You know, we do concrete polishing as well. Generally, we do.
Quick side note: concrete polishing down in Drillin, but we'll travel all over Victoria. Thank you very
100%
much.
100% for the right amount of money. But the dots, and you see, and for me as a director, it's like that dots. As soon as I see that dots, it's like something in my brain tells me if I'm working for this person again. Or they can go find another, like they can find another concreter. Because I'm like, it's not hard to write back, no stress, or screenshot paid, or pay, don't even say anything, just fucking pay.
Well, I used to get a lot of lies. You know, and I think that it's a challenge. Yeah, it's a real challenge in the Australian building market, you know, whatever.
Do you want me to tell you? I can tell you my worst story. I can tell you my – I just thought about it.
Just in case you wanted to know, ladies and gentlemen, 20 minutes into the
I've just the answered chat, the question.
Now he answers the first question.
So okay. Had a young – now this is a lot to unpack, but I'll try and do it quick.
Okay, but remember, PG, we're making sure –
There's no swears. There's no murder. There's no violence.
Okay, very good. All right, feed it to us.
We had a young guy come – this is a few years ago now. Young guy come and work for us on school holidays. He was 15 or 16. Smart, Catholic school, really clean kid. We rocked up, did a job at his, I think it would have been his girlfriend's parents' joint. He was doing a little bit of landscaping, making a bit of pocket money on the side. He comes up to me while we're working. He goes, oh, do you have a job for me? Fast forward, he had a job. He was working all through school holidays. Great little worker and his mate come along. They were not in it for the money. Not once did they ask me how much they were going to get paid. Not once did they ask me when they were getting paid. The only time that they ever said anything about money was when they saw everybody getting paid. And their words were, you pay us whatever you think we're worth. We're just happy to get the work. Instantly you're in like the top five of my we'll call you for work schedule. This kid ended up working for us nearly every weekend when school went back. And then one day he comes to me and says, oh, I'm going to leave school and I want to work for you full time. I said, you're not in year 10. Don't do that. He's like, no, I want to do it. I'm like, look, mate, you're a smart kid. You've got a bright future. I know your mum. I know your mate. What I'll do, yeah, you stay at school. Yeah, you stay at school. I'll give you one day a week to stay at school. Yeah. When you finish school, if you still want to work for me, I'll give you that job with extra pay. So the incentive for him to stay there, yeah? And I said to him, trust me, you can work one day a week for me, whether it's cleaning me truck, whether it's helping set up a job, whatever. That one day a week, and this is the same thing that I'll say to my kids, yeah? You'll work harder than you'll ever work, but you'll get paid enough to justify doing it. Mm. So you don't have to worry about working, you know, 300 hours a week to make bugger all. You should be able to work your one day, focus on your school.
Yep.
He did that. His mum, so happy. She's like, James, thank you for not extorting. Don't get me wrong, this kid could bench me. He was fit, man. He was strong, healthy, good.
Oh, he could pull a screen,
He could hang on a screen, right? He was going to be worth some money, this back. Guy. I could see the twinkle
Don't
in his
even
eye.
Worry about a guy on the rake. Just give
he
him
go
a thick
wet it up. Right? Okay. He was pulling tram machines out of the truck on his own.
Yes, sick.
Right? Anyway, he comes to me one day and he says, oh, my dad's getting a shed built. Can you do the slab for him? I said, absolutely, mate. Give me his number. Ring him up. Go around. Long story short, his old man didn't pay. Right? His old man's the first non-payer.
That escalated.
That I've ever had. Right?
Oh, dear.
A $30,000 shed slab. Right? $30,000 shed slab. Yeah, quoted, dug, piers, poured, finished, Mick, yeah? Oh, we wanted a burnt finish top. Why? Like, there's no – like, okay, what do you want me to do about it, mate? All right. Anyway, look, I'm not paying.
Out of nothing?
Nothing. So I said, hang on a minute. I said, you know that your son is getting paid for the 2 weeks we've been at your joint, but you want me to pay him? I don't care about that.
Really?
So one thing that sends me over the edge, yeah, is disrespect. This motherfucker was saying this to me in front of his son.
In front of his son?
Right. So I'm like, so you're not going to pay your bill?
Can you at least pay your son? Like, God, like, he deserves to be paid. Little hard worker.
And he's like, sorry, James, I'm going to go sit in the truck. I'm like, no worries, mate. And I'm telling you, we'll delete the end of the conversation, but that's low, isn't it? That's low. And I had to let him walk because he's like, please don't do anything to my dad.
That's.
And he never came back to work again. And then one day he rang me.
No, he would have been embarrassed.
He was so embarrassed and he was heartbroken. And then one day he rang me and he said, oh, I've gone for a job at Bunnings and I've used you as a reference. Do you think that you could get over what my dad did and be my reference? I'm like, mate, like, yeah, like what your dad did has nothing to do with you.
Dad's a dog.
That's dog. And that, so he, like, that's probably my worst story. It's like, as far as like, and me and the boys were just sitting at, like, we, that night we were all having beer and
at the pub.
The pub.
Beers at the pub. But and we then they say, there. How was your day? And you go, well, let me tell you, the not
kids
well.
Sit there, the kids sit there flicking a coin like this and me and the boys are just like.
Yeah. Anyway, which qualities do you have in your life that you would say you got from your father?
Crickets.
Yeah.
That's bad, man.
That's bad. I have a one where this one screwed you over with the dad. I had a guy that worked for me for 4 or 5 years. Now he put his hard work into working for me.
Mm-hmm.
Came originally on a working visa, 457 visa. Came to me. The guy had cancelled his visa and he needed to get a new one in 2 weeks. Otherwise, he had to go. We got him a temporary one and then we got him a full one and then we applied for residency and then all of this over a process. Now, this guy did work hard for me. I actually have a bit of a funny story about him.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sent him away to work at a wind farm and he was staying in a small country town and he was single and he was, I can say he's Italian. He won't mind me saying he's Italian. I won't use his name, but he was Italian, good looking rooster and working away. And I got a phone call. He'd been up there for about 3 months and he had to leave the town immediately for work because he had ended up in a relationship with a mum and her daughter separately, not knowing about each other, and the dad had found out, was chasing him through the town.
So he had a relationship with the mum, daughter and the mum?
That's without them knowing.
Oh, that's good.
In a small country town, and then he had to leave. But anyway, that's the funny story about him. The other story about him is after 4 years of working for me, now, mind you, worked his ass off.
Yep.
We're not saying anything other than, but I paid him the right money, even though you can sort of pay him a little bit less, I think, if you want to. I don't know. Well, I just paid him standard rates.
Yep.
He's quit. And he quit 7 minutes after the email came through that he got his permanent residency.
which I paid for. And you go, harsh.
Ow.
Yeah, harsh.
Ow. I kind of feel like...
I kind of feel a bit used.
Yeah, I feel a bit like, ah.
Everyone, like, don't get me wrong, like, yeah, because at the time I was real pissed, and now I've gotten a bit older, which I'm not old, that old yet, but I've gotten a bit older and a bit more wiser. Perspective says, yep. Hang on, like, he almost did his time. Almost did, like,
to the point where he could have gone, hey, I want to move on.
To the point where he says, oh, listen, like, you got your end out of me, I got my end out of you, I'm going, and I'm out. And I would have maybe gone, yeah, okay. But instead, like, hey, I'd like to offer my resignation. And it's like two emails in your inbox. One, we approve the permanent residency for ABC. And then one above it says, I quit. And you go.
Thanks. Like, it's like you're shaking one hand and punching with the other. It's like, congratulations, you're an arsehole.
And what do you do? Well, the business owner or the manager that gets put under all of the stress, because it's not just the owners. The managers get the drop-down stress as well.
Yeah.
What do you do to, you know, try and explain that and say, well, I understand he worked hard, you know, he had his fun, like he's tuning up a daughter living on one side of the city and her mum living on the other, which is an impressive feat. There was a pub in the middle of it, so he must have gone from one, stopped off, got some Parmigiana in the middle, and then gone and seen the mama.
I've got some questions about that.
Now, we can't go into it too much because it's a PG-rated podcast, but, like, there was a fairly irate father chasing him around, going to the job sites. Like, we were in rural.
Were they still married?
I don't know. I can't remember that far back, but I'll say... Probably not. But this was like 5-6 hours out of Melbourne.
That's a strange love triangle too. Like, there's no sorting that out.
No, you wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't have that conversation with the dad. You'd run. You'd keep running.
I can't imagine that he would be happy to shake your hand and say, how have you been? I think...
I know what you've been up to, you dirty bastard.
But then 7 minutes... 7 minutes, I'll never forget it. And we used to do a lot of those visas and bring people in and try and, you know, work with them and put a find spots for them, you know, especially in labour crises and stuff like that.
Piece, man.
Never again. I've never done it since.
Yeah.
I felt so shit because it's not cheap. I think it cost me like 10 grand or something to do it. Mind you, I earn heaps more money off of him than that. And I'm not taking that part away from him. And I'll keep saying that, like, he put in his
– why do these people act like that? It's like, did you not have parents? How were you raised?
They must not have had parents like we had parents or I had parents at least. Like,
if I did anything like that now, my dad would still –
I think that my dad, like, and me and his don't have the best relationship, but, you know, I think that my dad now, like, he'd just expect me to go and chat to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Jimmy, I've been tonguing for this permanent residency to come in. Like, fuck, have I waited. Yeah. It's taken a year and a half. It's finally came.
I want to go.
What do you need from me to go? And thank you so much.
And you could just go.
Let's go out tonight and I'll buy you dinner.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do. Like,
that's what I would do.
You know, I'll buy you dinner, but I'm out.
There's no language barrier there. There's no way to judge. Like, that's just bad ethics.
Yeah, it's bad. So it's not how I was brought up.
No, I would never. No.
You know, I probably would have put up with it for a little bit longer, but even if you put up with it for a month and then quit a month after, I'd be sitting here saying, gee, quit a month after getting permanent residency. But it's not about that. It's about the whole lot and it's about the feeling.
It really highlights the 7 minute.
Your 7 minutes. Like 7 minutes, mate. Like, it's like ding on his phone. He's like, oh, thank God.
Oh, man.
And then ping.
That's like sends it off. My young bloke, I have a pretty clear view on education in my household. We say don't let your schooling get in the way of good education. And we're happy for our kids to push and learn. And also, I'm happy for them to learn what you don't learn at school and whatnot. But my young bloke, like, he's recently started high school. And he got heaps of detention. He's in. He said, "What month are we even in? We're like halfway through the year yet."
You say heaps like there's a lot.
An acceptable amount of detention for one of my spawn.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Yep, that's makes sense.
And as a concreter's kid. Anyway, at some point he says, oh, Dad, I didn't do this. And I have a look at, they send you an email. And they send you an email and tell you what he's getting his detention for, or what it is he's done, this. At the start, I was like, you know, coming down on him and saying, mate, this is, we're going to tighten that up a bit. You know, you can't be doing that sort of shit. That's not right. Anyway, he recently got one from the school for being 18 minutes late to class over a whole week.
How many classes have they got?
Five a day.
Five questions, five times five. Who did it? We need an abacus to slide some beads.
It's 60 seconds.
Per class
on average.
That seems. So I said, how long was the detention?
After school. So if school finishes at 3 to pick up at 4:30. So I say to the teacher, I said, hang on a second. I said, so, and it clearly says that the email come. And my mum was a principal. Yeah, so when I grew up, I'm an only child. My mum was a principal.
I'm impressed that concreter could do the maths to work out 60 seconds, though. Like, oh, that's not standard.
That's not standard. That's no. Why we're so successful. I can use a calculator.
Perfect.
But anyway, what I saw growing up was parents of kids that were coming in and their kids were the best and the teachers were wrong. And my mum used to cop all that flack when we were. From a kid's point of view, watching that in a professional environment, I'd never be that parent. Mm. Yeah, so if you're ringing me saying my kids are shit, I don't doubt you. Like, I'm not going to tell him that he's wrong. But I'm like, you're sending him detentions. And then I start getting detentions from 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Oh, we've just been back. We've been piled up. I said, what do you mean you've been piled up? How do you backdate a detention? So you've rung me right on Monday and said, oh, he's done something really bad today. I said, yeah, that's not good. Let's work on it. And then 3 weeks later, you're sending me an email saying that he's required to miss lunch today because he's got detention. Yeah?
What happened when you spoke to him about 60 seconds late? So, see, I get a bit twisted about being late, so just watch out because I'm a little bit cooked.
My argument, right, is the 18 minutes or whatever it is over the class, right, is it that he was 18 minutes late to one class?
Unacceptable.
Is it that he's 5 minutes late to a class here and 5 minutes late to a class there, unacceptable? Mm. Or is it you're averaging it over the whole week? Because it clearly says here that you're averaging it over the whole week. Now, if you're averaging it over the whole week, that kind of washes the severity of the situation away. And I'm the same as yourself. I'm a stickler. If you're on site at 5 a.m. and it's 5:04,
you're not on site. You're late.
You're not on site.
And I've had to draw a line. Like I have big things about it because like we run a decent sized company.
You should be there 10 minutes earlier.
We have a huge latency problem. We have a huge amount of people who rock up to work late. Trucks.
Who's the worst one?
Truck drivers. Because
is that because they're
no? We send 25 trucks to a job. Mm-hmm. If you rock up, so the first trucks get their loads, let's say an hour early,
mm-hmm.
they're the guys who are hungry, starving, wanting to hit the traffic. You know, they're out of the city before it gets really bad and they want to head back in. They want to maximise their earnings.
Mm.
And you've got the guys who have been doing this for so long, they realise that whether you get there at 6 o'clock or 7:05, you usually end up getting the same amount of loads anyway. So,
that's
you have 20 trucks roll up. The 20th truck might not get a load until 7:45, let's say. Well, he's sitting there thinking to himself, why do I have to be there early?
Mm.
But then if you have 15 of them who decide, why do I have to be there early? Well, now all of a sudden there's no trucks there at 7:10. He's ordered 20 trucks and there's none there at 7:10 and I've only loaded four.
Yeah, and you ring
them all and you're like, oh, when are you getting there? And they're like, oh, 7:45, 7:35. The traffic was bad. My tyre blew up. I had someone, I've actually been waiting to tell this story because I keep forgetting.
I'm always, what do we got?
Okay. So one of the best excuses for being late. Now, mind you, we have some days 30 or 40 people late.
All right.
I would say a high average.
You give me your best excuse and then I'll give you my best excuse.
I've got every excuse. However, the best one that I have heard lately was that someone overnight
with his truck parked in the driveway, put a load in it. They were like,
what?
What? What do you mean? And he's like, they must have came with a wheelbarrow overnight and put it in. And we're like, dude, do you know how many wheelbarrows are in a truck? And he goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, it's like 15 barrows to a meter. Yeah, you got a 10-meter truck. What, they did 150 wheelbarrows into your truck?
And there's nothing around the truck.
And he's like, yeah, you're right. I don't think that makes sense. We say, do you have a photo? And he's like, yeah, send us a photo of a full truck. We're like, hang on.
He's just not got rid of it yesterday? No. Or he's done a load on his own?
Well, what ended up happening is we figured it out later. He went to his job, got the final load, drove to the tip, his phone rung, he talked on the phone, and then he drove home with a load in the back of the truck. Forgot to tip it off at the tip. But in the morning, he going, right, what excuses have we got today? You know, dog ate my homework, you know, the cat's sick, you know.
Wouldn't you just say, I forgot?
But he's like, I didn't forget. I went to the tip. I tipped it off.
The lie. And
then,
I hate that.
And then, hang on. Oh. Now, all of a sudden, we go to the tip and let's say we're paying to tip off the load, even call it $100, right? So you're paying to tip off the load $100. He drives into the tip. We get charged. The ticket's been stamped on the way through. He drives in and drives out with the load. And so then he's got a load in the back of the truck and he rings up and says, where am I tipping it? And you go, nah, I paid for that load yesterday. You're paying for this one. No, I'm not. Why would I pay? And you go,
man,
well, how did it fill up? And he goes, well, someone filled it last night.
With a wheelbarrow.
Obviously, with a wheelbarrow.
Or a helicopter.
Yeah, see, could have been a helicopter. I think you'd notice if a helicopter came though. But yeah, so that one's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That one's not bad. I've also had this week I had someone tell me that his tyres caught on fire. And we're like, what do you mean? This is like, stop immediately, move away from the truck. We will call the fire brigade. Safety is on its way from us. We are all over the top of this. And he's like, no, it's out now. We're like, can you send a photo of the tyre? Because you shouldn't drive that truck. Sounds like a safety issue and we need to have a look and we'll log it. No, it's okay. The tyre's normal. It was on fire, but now it's not on fire.
That happened to me on the way here.
I believe it happens a lot. Like, rubber usually goes out pretty quick, I think, as well.
Once it's on fire,
it's pretty easy to put out, and then it leaves no trace.
Just
like the wheelbarrows in the night. So thieves in the night filling up 10 cube in the back of the truck. Now, mind you, the outcome of all of that, because you have to rise above some problems. The outcome of that is that we paid for that load to be tipped twice.
How good's that guy?
He's
good. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, I'm 99% certain. I'll find out once I leave from here. 99% certain he still works for me.
Probably not.
Yeah, and he has not had a load put in the back of his truck at night time. But we start our office at 6 o'clock in the morning and someone walks in here and they're like, okay, problem.
Do you know what we should do?
Can't wait. Yep, tell me.
Because you like to pay for things that don't need to be paid for, like two loads of dirt
in the same truck.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Should load that truck one night while he's got it at home and film it. And then see if you could get the same.
That's actually quite funny.
We'll load it.
I don't mind that. It's a little bit of work, but I'm sure we could get it done.
And we could set up cameras, so that if he comes out while we're loading it in the dark. We'll start off with Barrows.
No, no, no. Yeah, so we'll go there. We'll make a ramp up the side.
We should.
Oh, a conveyor belt. We could really get into this. Or it won't take it as long. Some of my mates have got profilers.
Yeah.
We could literally shoot it into the back of his truck.
And then, wait, but then we'll really mess with him. We'll start doing things that would never happen so that he's got all these excuses. Like we'll nail the doors of his house shut or like we'll pour concrete. We'll put like stack up concrete in front of the door, deliver parcels. So we'll wrap up bags of concrete and put a bow on it and put them in front of his emergency flywire door. So when he opens it, it looks like there's a birthday present there.
But there's not.
But it's there's concrete. Not concrete. But he'll ring you, I can't come to work today. You'll go, why not?
Someone delivered me a present of concrete.
And I can't open the door. I can't get out of the house. And you'll be like, convenient. And then you'll be like, can't you just go out the back door? Then he'll go out the back door and see that his truck's been loaded again. And then have to ring back and say, hey, you'll never believe this, but the dirt pixies.
They've struck again. And it only happens to him.
He should. And that's he's learned two lessons. One, he should listen to this podcast.
Yeah, a very important lesson, yes.
Two is he should not tell fibs.
But we run into – so actually one of the big problems I've ran into in my life, which continues to be a problem, is keys. They don't sound like a huge problem.
I think keys to you and keys to me are the same – are different things.
Yeah, well, we have 100 or so vehicles that all run different keys.
Oh, yep. I thought, see, my guys don't come to work because they take drugs on the weekend.
Oh, right.
So they get fired instantly. It's like, guys.
Correct.
Too many keys. They're like, I'm like, what do you mean? This brings back to the best excuse that I've got.
Oh, gosh, sorry. Yeah. We went across. And then I'll tell you about my problem with keys.
Yeah. So this was similar. I think he had a problem with keys, this guy.
Right, okay. Got it.
So do you want me to paint the picture? He.
Please do.
So I had him pour a job for me. Where am I? His dad is a concreter.
How come you have so many problems with dads? Like, what do you do to dads?
I haven't thought about it.
Do you see two big stories, both to do with dads?
Yeah, dads. But this is another one. So his old man was a concreter.
Yes.
They poured a job for me when I was in Queensland, right? And they stuffed it. And it was for a volume builder in Melbourne. And not stuffed it as in it was on their fault. It was just we had 4 metres of concrete delivered and instead of bringing 4 metres in one truck, they bought 2 metres in a 2-metre truck on a 35-degree day and then 2 hours later bought another 2 metres. So there was a big snazzle and coal joint in the middle of the driveway. Yeah. So it just looked shit, right?
It's a bad time.
But
annoying.
One of my guys that was there was like, they did everything they could to make it look good, it just looked crap. So I'm not gonna hold it on the boys. I'm gonna go, oh, look, you know, you pay. Builder rings me, says, look, it's shit. What are we gonna do? So don't worry about it. Tomorrow I'll have someone come pull it out. Monday we'll pour it again. Yeah?
Is that what you want to do? Could we change it? Can't you ask them if they want it painted? You know?
No, it's exposed. We don't have the option.
Ah.
And we guarantee it.
Yeah, that makes sense. If it's exposed, you can't paint it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't walk away from a job that looks shit anyway, because I have too many laughing moments with the boys at the pub about...
You spend a lot of time at the pub.
Well, not anymore, quite often. Anyway, so I'm in Queensland.
Yep.
The boys ring me, go, look, the quickest way to get this sorted is we're going to pull it out. So the boys pulled it out. I got saw cutter there following morning, cut it, machine out. Boys boxed it up on Saturday. Oh, sorry, boxed it up on Sunday for Monday morning pour.
Ready to rock and roll, yep.
Now, this goes back to what you were saying about how you've got these guys that work for you and, you know, some of these guys are the best guys I've ever had. Mm. So I ring this one dude who happens to be the son of this dude, right? Now, the goings-on was the guy's wife was crook, right? Going through a hell of a time. The guy that was working for his mum, crook, going through a hell of a time. I didn't want to go... being aggravated to their situation. So I ring the other dude, the son of the guy that stuffed the driveway up, said, look, can you do me a solid, mate? I need this job poured Monday morning, right? You're the only one that I trust that will finish exposed.
You've set him up to fail. But
as well as I will.
Yep. As well as I will, as long as it's not in 2 2-metre trucks.
Just pour it. I don't care. Yep. Tell me whatever you want. Anyway, he goes, mate, you got it. He's like, thanks for... you know, putting this back on dad. Him and his old man don't have a great relationship anyway. I'll make it happen. Now, this guy knows that the two boys that work for me don't finish my exposed. I finish my exposed. I'm real anal about it. Anyway, I said, what time do you want concrete for tomorrow? He goes, 6 a.m. I said, sweet. I'm in Queensland, right?
Oh, this is juicy. The Queensland problem is that's going to rear its head soon. I can feel it. Right. It's the crux of the issue. He can't save it. He's in Queensland.
Well, I can't do nothing.
Yeah, no, nothing. Uh-huh. Nothing can be done.
But it's also the last pour of the week before Christmas. The builder's handover depends on this driver. There's heaps of pressure coming. They're like, it has to be done by today, right? Or you're going to lose your contract, which is worse. Big. So anyway.
He's ready.
I get this phone call from my boys at the job site at 5:45 going, hey, just letting you know, my mate, the other bloke's not here yet. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, he's not here yet. Like, he's supposed to be on site at 5:30. Yeah. So I ring. I go, all right, I know what's going to happen. He's going to do the old Houdini. That's actually what we call him. So I ring concrete and say, oi, Elno Bacho. Like, mate, it's on the way, it's there. It's 2 minutes away.
No, it's not.
And I was like, okay, good.
I can't even see a concrete truck anyway.
And I was, okay, so I'm ringing. I'm ringing. You might just have to edit this little pause out so I can find the message. Can't find it, but edit that out.
Fuck the setup. We're in suspense. Jesus.
Don't remember the story. No, anyway, I'll just go off what like off the top of my head.
Okay, all right.
Hey mate, cooked at Crown, my bad. Brother-in-law spiked my drink. Sorry to let you down. And I'm like, you realize that you're poor in this job. Because I had to pull it out because your dad fucked it. Yeah? And I'm like, these are the joys of running a business. So I'm in Queensland having a really relaxing time ringing everybody that I know that can finish exposed, which is like three people.
The same three again and again. Now the dad's out. The dad's out. So you used to know four. So dad's now out. There's three. And then one of them is in Crown at 5:45 a.m. Not there. Smoking, so now you got two.
Smoking ice pipes.
Most likely.
And that's what we have to deal with. That's like, tell me why anyone would wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, I'm going to start a business today.
I think that it's gotten way worse in Melbourne lately. I also like to toe in managers, you know, the managers and what they deal with, because you're dealing with it at one level, but there's a manager of a concrete company who's currently poor and exposed right now who's dealing with the same issues.
He works there, you know? I think. This guy probably works there.
Yeah, at a big company doing the same shit, organising, you know, his finishes to rock up and he's meant to have four and two come and then one is, you know, MIA and calls up.
That's where all the money goes though, because you book one, they don't show, you have to take three. And you know what? This is another issue in the industry. There's these guys out there right now. They know who they are too. Scumbags. Bottom feeders, the absolute scum of the earth. They are, and I'm telling you, on every Concreters Wanted page, every Concreters Available page. I don't fuck with that shit. I don't have those pages. Yeah, I just don't use them. But what they are is they're these guys that know that companies like myself, yeah, have no showers. Yeah. And they pride themselves in charging double the amount for the day because they get booked the morning of the pour, knowing that you need them to pour. So they don't take jobs in the industry. They don't work 5 days a week because they get paid fucking $1,200 a day or whatever the fuck they...
Is that really what they want?
Bro, they want, mate, well, a standard rate, we'll put it this way, you could go on there now and have a look, yeah? There's guys bickering about, what do you charge per square and blah, blah, blah. I don't fuck with that. But then you'll see guys wanting $700 a day.
Am I about to get, like, hate on the concrete pages now? Like, just so you know, Starbuck Excavation and Plan High, I do no concrete.
No concrete.
We know nothing about concrete. I'm learning now. So what, like, do you charge per square? Tell everyone. No, don't tell them.
Prime. it depends who you ask. And they will sit there, right, and they know full well that they could get a job and they could work 5 days a week, yeah? But they don't want to do that. They want to work 1 or 2 days a week.
Yeah, but is that agency work anyway, like the nurses and stuff?
They hit up private. It's just private sector. So, like, you know, you've got people like myself running companies, and we've got let's just show you what a dynamic on site would be like. You've got three guys that work hard as fuck, yeah, that are on good money, that come to work five days a week.
And then the one guy rocks up on
for one fucking day, double rate, yeah. The person that works for you, you're expecting that person to understand why they're worth
they're
half.
Not going to understand.
And then these people that are charging these double day rate are sooking that Indians are wrecking the industry and Chinese are wrecking the industry. But these guys are working for good money, working hard and coming every day. You are coming in working for one day, extorting enormous amounts of money out of my company and my friend's companies. And then
is a big problem down there, like mainly, man. Or is it everywhere?
Everywhere, man.
Because I've never heard of it before.
Everywhere, man. And I mean, I might be the only guy up to call it out, but purely based on those people.
We should send him this clip and be like, yeah, look at it. You can share the hell out of it. And I'll just sit back and be like, I know nothing about concrete.
So we got this one time, right? We got this guy. We had our company, one of our sponsored ads, shared on Concreters Wanted web page, right? And some guy took a screenshot of my company, right, with an ad that had a photo of a job that we'd done, yeah, which was a 1,200 square metre driveway.
That's a big driveway. That's a quarter of an acre.
Wait, hand finished, no trowel machines, hand
edged. Dirty to me. Oh, yeah, hand finished. You hearing that? Yeah.
Right? Anyway, he put this screenshot, and the ad was something along, like, again, I don't write these ads. We got a social media manager that did this period of advertising for our company. You know what it's like. Some people just you mix it up a bit, keep it
fresh.
I
don't know if you can tell, but I don't do shit here.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, not only in this room, but outside this room.
this is what I mean, right? So this company, and the ad was like, concreting, 5-day turnaround, something, rah, rah, rah. And then it's like, happy to beat any legitimate quote, right? Fair enough. Now, keep in mind, the photo of the job is over 1,000 squares. The job's in excess of 100 grand, right? There aren't very many paving companies in Melbourne that can pour 1,000 square metres of good concrete in one go. Right?
Of paving concrete. Okay.
Paving, right? They're either not big enough.
Or they're too big.
Yeah. We try to bounce around in that bit. So we're big enough for a commercial mob to ring us and say, hey, we need a 100 cube deck poured, or hey, can you pour us a crossover?
Yeah.
We can do both, right? They've put a screenshot up on this page going, guys like this are the reason none of us can get work. Undercutting dogs. Oh. So I'm like, hang on. I said, first of all, that's my company. I hire 10 people a week from this page. Yeah? Explain to me how I undercut you on this job when you don't have
the ability
to quote it, let alone do it. So I take that and I sent that to the admin of the page.
Mm.
I say, bro, if you want me to be able to hire people off your page,
yeah,
you can't have me looking like I'm an undercutting dog, because then no one's going to want to work for me, which means what's the point of me using your fucking site?
Yep.
Right?
The admin said?
It's a good ad, but I'd probably change a few things.
Who are you to tell me to change shit?
Shut the fuck up. Yeah? Don't. If
concrete
I said.
Is a feisty. Oh,
man.
Feisty.
I'm like, man. I'm like, tell me to change my fucking ad. I said, well, why don't you pay the motherfucker that wrote the ad to change it? Because I'm not changing shit.
Oh, listen to him. It's off. Fuckhead. You're going down to the pub and having some beers with me, mate.
This, mate, fuck, he ain't coming to the pub. And as far as I'm concerned, anyone on those fucking pages is a
so
joke.
I cop more hate online than you could ever deal with. I love I cop, it's so much.
Can you tell me about the Sunny hate?
Oh, I got hate this week about one.
Tell me.
Yesterday I got
I don't one. Mind Sunny. I like Sunny.
Yeah, wait until you're trying to compete against a job and you need your gear to cost half the rate and still do the same work. Imagine. But I had someone say, this is the guy with all of the machines and trucks over Melbourne undercutting everyone's rates with cheap underperforming equipment.
Does your machine dig less than?
No, they don't. So I wrote back and said, thank you very much for your comment. I appreciate it. But if I'm winning all of the work and completing it, they must be performing just fine. Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, but I'm glad I'm underneath his skin. If he's listening to this, because usually they follow me around and listen to everything I have to say, I hope you have a great day. And if you could just cut out the middleman and call me up for where the next job is so that I can
and
quote
that. And we hope that no one fills your truck at night with wheelbarrows.
Or puts a present of concrete in front of you.
Yes.
We should probably finish up. I think that it's about 1 hour. Do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about at all?
Absolutely not, mate. Just thanks for having us on and good
luck problem.
With it.
As always, if anyone wants to come on, have a chat. It doesn't have to be too serious. It can be just a nice, funny chat about the industry, about not the industry, or about really anything you want. Looking for new guests.
I think we should find the man with the daughter and the wife.
To come on
the show.
I think it'd be a fairly short show. I think it would be very entertaining for some, though. Just another one of the tales in the life of Starbuck, I suppose. But
yeah, great.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it very much. Ooh. Yeah, you screwed that up. All right, done. Thank you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.